Good morning, church. How are you? How many remember the greetings I taught you last time? Jambo. Jambo. It's nice to be here again. You are wonderful people. We pray for you and we think of you. This time I have come with my wife Beatrice. Maybe I would want to ask her to stand and just say hello to you people. I married my wife Beatrice about 28 years ago. God has blessed us with 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. And our first daughter, who is 27 years, is getting married next month on 31st of March. So why don't you come to the wedding? God is blessing us. I want to thank each one of you this morning before I bring the word of God for the love you have for us and the support that you give to us. We don't take it for granted. Every seed you plant for the kingdom of God is not in vain. And we want to thank you and to bless you so much. May God bless you. Well, I want us to hear the word of the Lord. Are you ready? Why don't we stand and read the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we want to read from verse 1 to verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 1 to 14. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that will not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that none deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because rudeness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Father, we thank you this morning. May you reveal your word unto our hearts, Lord. I pray that you speak to the heart of men. And may your word be clear. And Father, as we leave this house, we want to leave being confident of what you are doing in our lives. We thank you for your presence and your grace. May the Holy Spirit minister life to us. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. May we get seated. Church, when we read the scripture this morning, it's very clear that it reminds us that Jesus is coming soon. And my message this morning is, are you ready? Because the Savior is coming. Have you prepared enough? This is the time when the disciples of Christ, they wanted to know more about the return of Jesus. And you know, this is the time he was preparing to go to the cross. And they knew that after he was going, they didn't know when he was coming back. So they went to him and they persuaded him, Lord, tell us when you're coming back. And we can see the signs and what he's talked about of his return. What will happen? He talks of rumors of war. He talks of famine. He talks of trouble. He talks of kingdom fighting kingdom. He talks about sorrows. All of these things. If you are true today, you have seen them. You have heard about the rumors of war. You have heard war everywhere. I believe today there is more rumors of war than ever before. If you watch your television, if you buy a newspaper, you only see fightings and killings. There is no good news today. It's a sign to tell you that our Savior is coming soon. And I have come to remind you, I know that you have a good teacher. Dale is a wonderful pastor. He's a good man of God. He teaches the word of God. But I also have come to remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life and died on the cross, is coming back soon. He's coming to take a holy church, a holy people, a people who are prepared. That's why he died on the cross. And we see today the gospel that has power to prepare us has been diluted. The gospel that has power to change the lives of people is not the same. And when you read verse 14, Jesus, after speaking of what will happen, after speaking about the signs of time, speaking about the rumors of war, speaking about men hating others, he speaks about the gospel. And he says, in all of those things happening, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto the whole world as a witness. And I believe the time we are living today, as Jesus is coming soon, is time to preach the gospel. It's time to preach the cross. It's time to speak the truth. As I said earlier in the morning, Jesus specifically said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. That means there are other gospels. That's why he's particularly saying, and this gospel. Before he talks of false prophets coming, people will teach their own stuff. We have them today. If you watch television today sometime, you see the gospel there, you wonder, is it a movie or what is that? In fact, I better watch a movie than those stuff in the TV. That is telling you that the gospel has been diluted. There is another gospel that is being preached. But I believe it's time for the church, it's time for the believers to go back to the gospel of the kingdom. It's time for us as a people, as Christians, it's time for us to declare where we stand. The gospel has been compromised. We see a lot of teachings going on. There's a lot of stuff. And this is why we must go back to this gospel. That's why Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto the whole world. And I believe people that fear cannot preach this gospel. This gospel can only be preached by people who are ready, not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for Jesus. We have many believers today, but we don't have many people who want to suffer for the gospel. If you read Philippians 1 and verse 29, let's go quickly and read together the book of Philippians. And I would want one person to read for me. Where are you? Are you ready somewhere? We must all work together. Philippians 1 and verse 29. Who wants to read that verse? Yes, brother. Read. Hey, brother. Go slowly. Why don't you stand and read? Where there is a comma, put a comma. Uh-huh. It has been granted. For it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. We have many believers today, but we don't have many people who are ready to suffer for Christ. And I believe if you are going to preach this gospel, if you are going to be part of the people who want to rise up, because what I feel, God is looking for men who want to rise up and stand for the truth. Men who want to say no to the world. There are many gospels today that make you happy. I don't believe I have come here to make you happy. I want to challenge you. I want to tell you it's time to stand for the truth. Hello, are you here this morning? Huh? Some people are very angry. I don't know what's happening. Huh? Are you here this morning? If we are going to preach this gospel, we must rise up. And I believe God is looking for men and women who are ready not only to believe Christ, but to preach this gospel. That's why Jesus told the disciples, and this gospel of my kingdom shall be preached unto the whole world as a witness, and then the end will come. Church, Jesus is coming. Are you ready this morning? If he returns now, this is why we must go back to the Bible. We must go back to the Word of God. And the people who will declare to preach the gospel, they will be persecuted. Time is coming for persecution. But let me tell you something. If you are ready for the return of Christ, you will not care what happens. This gospel cannot be compromised. God is looking for people who are ready to give their lives, to suffer for Christ, to stand on the gap. And I believe this morning, the Lord is reminding us, we are supposed to be awake. We are supposed to be aware. The world has nothing good to offer. We have many gospels that makes us feel good. There are many people who go to church to dance. After dancing, you dance a sinner, you go home a sinner. But I tell you something, you need to be ready. You need to hear the stuff that has power to change your life. You know, when we come to this house, we come to hear God. When we come to this house, this is a house of prayer. This is a house where God speaks to our lives. This is why we came here this morning. We didn't come here this morning to feel some goosebumps. Goosebumps? No. We came to this house that God may challenge us. We came to this house that God may do with us what we want. We must be in a position where God can challenge us. God can warn us. God can shape us. God can change us. Do you know there are believers, since they got born again, they are the same. They never change. And I believe what can change you is the power of this gospel. And that's why Paul writes Paul writes to the Galatians, and he says to the Galatians, he says, I marvel that you are so quickly, let's read, because I can hear some Thomas here. Do you know who was Thomas? Do you know who was Thomas? Thomas the doubter. Let's go quickly and read Galatians 1. Just give me a few minutes. Let me talk to you, church. Tomorrow I'll be gone. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul is telling the church in verse Verse 6. Where are you? Where are you? Who is reading? Who is reading? Where are you? Okay, brother. Can you read?
I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel.
This man is a preacher. I tell you. The Bible says, I marvel. There's another translation that says, what is your translation? I marvel. I'm astonished. The other one? I'm amazed. I marvel that you are so soon turning away from whom who called you by the grace of Christ to a different gospel. That's why Jesus said, and this gospel, because he knew there are other gospels. And I believe it is time for the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, to rise up and oppose and reject what is not of the Lord. It's time. This is why I am telling you, God is preparing people. God is preparing men and women who are ready. We can't walk like the world. We have to be different from the world. And today we have many preachers who are trying to preach to the church how we must feel good, how we must take every, how we must prosper, how we must have a good house, a good car, a good this. I tell you, all of these things shall be left here. But we must be ready to know that houses and cars and horses and donkeys will be left here. But we are going to heaven. There's a place that Jesus is making for us. And we must be ready for that place. And what can prepare you is when you hear the truth. And the truth is very scarce. There are not many people who are ready to speak the truth. Because, let me tell you, after I speak here, I know one thing. I am going to make some enemies and I'm going to make some friends. Do you know that? But the bad part of it is that I am not apologetic of what I'm speaking to this morning. I want to tell you the truth, because the truth will set you free. I am going to Nairobi after a few days, but the truth of God, the word of God, the power of the gospel will stay in this church. And even these pipes will be speaking about what I'm saying. Every time you walk in, you will hear the voice of God. Truth. You cannot do nothing against the truth. You cannot bury the truth. That's why today it's more than 2,000 years since Jesus left. But the truth he spoke is still alive and clear. And I want to tell you, my friends, it is time to be prepared. It is time to watch out. If you are sleeping, There is a warning. There is a call. God is calling you this morning. Some of us, we have relaxed in serving God. Some of us, the zeal that was there is dead. Some of us, we are comfortable. If you go back to the book of Matthew, where we started, you will see Jesus continues to speak about the signs of his return. And if you read verse 37 and 39, where are you, brother? Where is the preacher? This guy is my friend. Okay. Now can you read Matthew 24 and you read verse 37, 38 and 39? Pastor, you must prepare this guy for ministry. Yes.
But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Also, when the Son of Man will be coming, the same system that was there in the time of Noah will be the same. People will be marrying and getting married. People will be eating and drinking. They were swallowed by the move of the world until Noah entered the ark. Even before he entered, he told them, "Hi guys, I have completed building. Even if you did not help me, please come and enter." The guys were so busy. And I believe, brothers, you can also enter into the same boat. You can enter into a system. There's a lot of eating places everywhere. Even right now, somebody is building a hotel somewhere. Eating and drinking. Get married and getting married. Dropping this. There are people who have married 5 times. I met a man, he told me, "Praise God, brother, this is my 7th wife." I tell you, they were getting married, marrying and getting married. I want to encourage you. I'm not telling you not to get married. You know, there's somebody who is not getting married. Say, "Hey, what is that guy saying?" I am not telling you not to get married. But what I'm telling you, don't be swallowed by that. Be aware, even if you are getting married, remember to prepare your heart. Remember to be ready, because Jesus is coming again. Are you there? Jesus is coming again. We must be ready for his return. Me, I like to preach to people who are alert. I don't want you to be dead. You must be aware. You must be alert. Until Noah entered the ark, they had forgotten. And I believe the world of today, there's a lot of things happening, church. There's a lot of everybody's claiming his right. Everybody's talking of freedom. Freedom to sin. Freedom. I tell you, let me tell you, we cannot go against the word of God. We are not going to be swallowed by the world. Where are those believers who want to rise up and say no to the world? Where are those believers who want to declare Jesus is coming soon? Where is that woman who wants to stand and say, "Hi, we can't take that road. We must walk on the road that Jesus kept for us." Do you know Jesus said what? This man is very angry. Do you remember what Jesus said, brother? Jesus said, "If you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself." Do you know the gospel is not complicated? But today, the gospel has been so complicated by people. The gospel is very simple. This is a revelation. And God speaks to us through this book. And when this book is revealed, we know the reality of it. And this is why Paul writes to the church of Galatians. When the Galatians did not want to walk on the gospel of grace and they drifted from law, Paul went back to them and he rebuked them and he spoke to them. I wonder if Paul could come to the church today. I wonder what he could tell us. I wonder what he could say to the church today. Paul writes to the Galatians. Quickly, church, let's read the book of Galatians. Oh, if Jesus comes now, I'm ready. Oh, in Galatians 1, where are you, my brother? Can you read? I want you to read verse 11. Read verse 11. What is Paul saying to the people?
"But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man."
Hey, don't sit down, brother. You have not yet finished. Yeah. Verse 12, what does he say?
"For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ."
The gospel that was preached by me, the gospel that was preached by me was not after man. It's not something that I learned. It's not something that I sat down on a Bible school. I am not telling you not to go to Bible college. But what I'm saying to you, Bible college does not give you revelation. Bible college gives you knowledge. But now Paul is speaking about the revelation of Jesus, what he saw in the Spirit. And the power of this book is when your spiritual eyes are open. Today, there's a lot of teachings in the church. We are teaching people 20 steps, 45 steps, 90 steps, but people are still in sin. Because knowledge has no power to change the life of men. The power to change men is the revelation of the gospel. It's when the gospel that Jesus said to be preached comes to our hearts as a revelation. We can study this book. I'm telling you, there are people who read this book from January to December. It's good to read the book, but you must cry to God to give you a revelation as you read this book. If you read it without revelation, it has no power. It's just like a novel. And we have a lot of knowledge in the church. People are so knowledgeable about the Bible. There are people who can speak verses. They can memorize verses. Matthew, there are people who can memorize. But I'm telling you, that memory is not bad. But I believe God is calling the church back to the revelation of the Bible. God is calling the church to the revelation of the gospel, where we come to see the true way that Jesus has kept for us. In the history of the church, the church has never been involved in tapes, videos, DVDs, all of this like today. But the church has never been weak like today. Because there's a lot of knowledge in the church, but there's very little revelation. Paul is saying to the church, the gospel that I preach, can we go back to Galatians? The gospel that I teach is not after men, neither was I taught by men. Let me tell you, church, I study my Bible. I have gone to Bible college. But one thing I tell you, I realize that we need so much the revelation of the gospel. We need Jesus to be revealed in our hearts. Can somebody in this side read the same verse? Chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Where are you? These people on this side, are you sleeping? Can you wake up? Okay, can you read my sister? Yes. Yes, 11 and 12. Can you read? Yeah, can you read, brother? Yes, same. Can you read? Are you there? Yes, can you read? Don't sleep, brother, wake up. Can you read? Yes. Don't sing, but read, brother. Don't sing, but read. Slowly.
I want you to know, brother, that the gospel I preach is not something that I made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Did you understand what he was saying? I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel that was preached by me was not after men. Ma'am, is that what your Bible says? Is that what your Bible is telling us? It was not after men. But it is a revelation that came from Jesus. And I feel for the church to move strong, we need to go back to the revelation of the gospel. This is what made Paul strong. Because revelation never decays. It's there. It's alive. It makes you alive. It brings you to love Jesus. It brings the inner man. You know, revelation is a spiritual man to see the things of God in the spirit. It brings you, when you read the book of Matthew, it's new. You know, there was a time I was so much with knowledge. But I came a time where I could feel something. I need something new in my life. I need to be prepared in my heart. And I could feel, it's like I was dying spiritually. And I had to cry to God. And when God gave me the revelation of His Word, something happened in my spirit. And every book in the Bible became new. I was reading Genesis and it became new. I read Chronicles, I read Matthew, every book in the Bible was new. And today, I love to read my book every day because it is new every day. And I believe God today is speaking to the church. The church has to wake up. I want to encourage you, church. When Jesus was asked questions by the disciples, back to Matthew 24, Jesus spoke clearly and told the church, wake up. Be watchful. Don't sleep. My coming, I can come in time. Nobody knows the time I'm coming, but be awake, be alert, be aware. And we need to hear the gospel that prepares our hearts. We don't need to hear the gospel that draws away to prepare our lives from the return of Jesus. But we need to hear the gospel that prepares us to be ready by the second coming of our Lord. You know, the more we hear that message that prepares us, you know, the power of the gospel brings correction in our lives. It makes us not to fight with our wives. You know, we can be in the church, but every time we are arguing with our wives. I remember there was a time in my marriage, she was pulling this way and I was pulling this way. And I tell you, every time, there was confusion in the house. She wanted to win every time. We came to a point, she's here, she can tell you more. We came to a place where we could not speak with mouth, we were speaking with papers. I'm going. Where? I'll come after 5 hours. Why? I tell you, talking with papers. But Jesus helped us. We started to see we need Jesus in our marriage. We need to be ready every time. Today we can't fight with my wife. If she wants to win, let her win. She wins today, she loses tomorrow. I tell you, we can't fight. There's no time to fight. And Jesus is telling the church, be aware, be awake. And today, my sister, it is easy to be fighting with that husband every time. I tell you, every time makimaking. There's not that time. Paul is saying to the church in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is saying to the church, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have to redeem the time. Jesus is coming soon, church. And we must be ready. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40 and 41, maybe we can read quickly. Are you still there? Hello? In Matthew chapter 26, verse 40 and 41, brother, are you ready? Can you go there? Are you sleeping? We are in the book of Matthew now, brother. Matthew chapter 26, 40, 41. Are you in Matthew again? We are back to the book of Matthew. Every time I speak, you must follow me. I like everybody to be very much awake because I can use anybody in the church. Hello, man. Even the brother in the door, I can still see you. So everybody must be awake. Hello. Are you there, brother? Can you read? Verse 40 and 41.
40 and 41?
Uh-huh.
Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left.
I don't think that's what I want. Matthew 26, 40 and 41.
Okay.
Wake up, brother.
Okay. Then he and said to Peter, Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He found them sleeping. And he asked them, hey guys, could you not watch for 1 hour? Just 1 hour. The guys were sleeping. Remember, we are talking about spiritual sleep. Where your heart is sleeping. Your heart is not awake. Where you sleep in prayer. Some of us, maybe we have not prayed for the last 1 week. I'm not talking of that short prayer of blessing food. Father, we thank you for this food as we eat in Jesus. Amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking of a prayer where you are concentrated. You are given to talk to God. You spend time with Jesus. When did you come to church to pray last time? You find prayer meetings. A church, big church like this, we have 10 people during the prayer time. People are sleeping. And I believe the Lord wanted the church to be awake, the people to be alert. And I believe there is a calling called to you this morning. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, quickly turn to your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13. You can take time and study Matthew. The book of Matthew is a very wonderful book. It's a very interesting book. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9. Brother, are you there?
Got it.
Uh-huh. Can you read?
He who has ears.
No. Sorry. Read verse 24 and 25. Okay. Matthew 13.
24 and 25?
Exactly.
Another parable he put forth to them.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field.
Uh-huh.
But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way.
While men, the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seeds in the field. But while men slept, the enemy came, planted bad seeds, and went his way. The enemy will never plant bad seeds when you are watching, when you are awake, when you are alert, when you are prayerful, sister, when you pray, my brother, when you are spiritually aware. The enemy has no power to plant bad seeds. But when you spiritually sleep, that's when you give the enemy a chance to plant bad seeds. You find yourself gossiping. You find yourself murmuring. That's why you find there are people in the church, they're all, why this? There are people who ask the question every, why that, pastor? Why this? Why? There are people who live in why. When they slept, that's when the enemy came. When you sleep, that's when the enemy will come, plant bad seeds in your children, in your family, in your business, in your life. The enemy will come and plant bad seeds. That's why we have bad seeds in people's lives. That's why we have bad seeds in the church. Why? Because the people are sleeping. The Bible says, while men slept. Is that what your Bible said, brother? While men slept, that's when the time the enemy came. The pastor's work is to plant good seeds. And I know Pastor Dale and his wife are planting good seeds every time. But if you sleep, my brother, the enemy will come. And he will confuse you. And he will plant bad seeds. And Jesus is saying, watch. The word this morning, watch. Don't sleep. We are living in the end times. We don't know the return of Christ. If you read Matthew chapter 24, 25, and 26, in chapter 25, he speaks about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. And he talks of how the foolish virgins did not have enough oil. And we can read these stories and we don't understand. We can read the Bible as stories. This is why I told you earlier, you need the revelation of the gospel. That when you read, you will understand it's not a story. The Lord is calling you to be ready. Many of us, we know about the story of those five virgins who are foolish and five virgins who are wise. But what are you doing about it? The Bible is saying the wise were ready. They had enough oil. Even when the bride tarried, they were still ready. And even when the bride came at midnight, they were ready. They were singing and dancing, waiting for the bride, because they were prepared. But you see, these five ladies who were there warming up themselves with stories and things of this life, they forgot that the bride could come any time. And the Bible says at midnight they came. Unfortunately, they had only the little oil in their lamps and it could not go long time. These are the Christians who got born again 20 years ago. They never change. They never grow. They never read the Bible. They are not refreshed. They are sleeping. You may not be a sinner, but you may be sleeping. It's easier to be in the church. You are born again, but you don't know what is happening. You are there. The five foolish women were there. They were in the same place, but they were foolish. They didn't know they needed much oil to wait for the Savior. And I tell you, Church of El Cajon, we need the gospel in our hearts. We need the revelation of Jesus in our hearts to make us ready. Even if he comes tomorrow, or he comes 2007, or he comes 2009, or he comes 20 years later, we are still ready for the return of Jesus. And I believe it's time for you to get ready. Are you ready? If he comes now, somebody, that's why when you preach the gospel to people, they tell you, oh brother, I'll get born again next week. Who tells you that you'll be there next week? Oh brother, give your life to Jesus. Oh man, oh think about it. Come after 1 year. How do you know you'll be there next year? Are you ready this morning? I want to encourage you as I close. Jesus is coming for the church. And we need to be prepared. We need to keep our hearts well. Some of us, we have unforgiveness for 2 years, 3 years. It doesn't matter what he did or she did to you. But you need to remove that issue in your heart. You know, some people will say, oh, pastor, even if I can't. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter. You know, forgiveness is not something that you go even telling somebody to forgive me. Forgiveness starts from you. When you clear your heart, when you forgive and you allow Jesus to give you the grace, he will sort out the other side. Some of us, we are keeping issues. Oh, pastor, that man, I divorced him 10 years. I don't want to hear about him. I have nothing. If I see him, I vomit. I tell you. I tell you, you need to keep your heart clear. Even if you divorce that man, you need to walk in forgiveness. Even if you divorce that woman, you need to walk in forgiveness. And I believe this morning, God is giving us a chance to clear our hearts. and to get ready for the return of our Lord Jesus. He is coming for the Holy Church. Dale is not preaching to you forever. He is preparing you. You know, every time I preach to my church, I'm very clear with them. I'm just reminding them. Paul says to Timothy, remind them. I have come to remind you. It's easy to get into a system. Judgment is coming to America. Where do you stand? It's time to be ready. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you do not know the Lord this morning, nobody has ever prayed for you to receive Jesus in your life. You have been coming to church, but you have never ever confessed the Lord as Savior of your life. You have never given Him your life to lord you. I believe there's a chance this morning. Maybe you did one time, but you backslid. And today, you want to say, Mr. Preacher, I want to return back to Christ. You have a chance this morning. If you want a prayer of salvation this morning, you may be a young man here today. The Lord is able to give you grace and victory even in your younghood. I want to pray with you. If you need a prayer of salvation, can you put up your hand wherever you are? You know you are not born again. If Jesus comes today, you are not born again. Put up your hand. Don't keep it down. Just put it high. You know you're not born again and you'd want to surrender your life. You'd want me to pray with you a prayer of salvation. Don't fear anybody. Put it high. God bless that hand. Just put it high. I'll pray with you today. God bless that hand. If you are lifting your hand for salvation, can you do me another favor? Can you stand with your two feet? Just stand wherever you are. And if just stand and just walk in front. Just come in front. I pray for you. Thank you, Lord. And if you're still fighting in your spirit, you know that you have never given Jesus your life. You have never prayed a prayer of salvation. This is the greatest prayer that one can pray in life. This is the greatest miracle when a man declares his relationship with God. If you know you are not born again, Jesus has never became Lord of your life. Come, let us pray with you this morning. I feel God is speaking to people. God bless you. I want you to pray this prayer after me, you guys. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I bring my heart. I have heard your word. And today, I have made a decision to allow you to be Lord of my life. Thank you for touching me. Thank you for saving my life. And from today, I am no longer a sinner. Jesus has forgiven me. And my name has been written in the book of eternal life. I am born again. I am a new creature. Thank you, Jesus. I will serve you and walk with you all the days of my life. Help me, Lord. Father, I just commit these people before you, Lord. They stand before you today. They see the state of their hearts. And Father, they surrender their lives to you. And Father, today is a great day that even angels in heaven are rejoicing for these souls declaring you as Lord. And Father, we thank you that you'll give them the grace to overcome sin. You will give them the grace to continue. This is the greatest miracle when one soul comes to your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, as you help them to be the light of the world. Give them the strength, Lord. Even as they study your word, let the revelation of Jesus come to their hearts. I thank you for them, Lord. Thank you because yesterday is gone and today is a new day. Father, I thank you. Thank you for touching my brother today. He is now a new creation. The past is forgiven and now he starts a new life. I commit him to you, Lord, and I thank you for his life. And I thank you because the enemy has no power over their lives from today. Thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Before we close this meeting this morning, as we are in that mood of prayer, let's open, let's give Jesus a few minutes. I would want you to speak to Jesus and think about your life also. If you are here this morning and you feel in your heart that somehow, somewhere, you have been going slowly, you feel you need revival, you need to be revived, you need to be restored, you feel somehow you've been sleeping. And the Lord is calling you as he did call Peter. And in one way or another, you know you need a touch from the Lord. My brother, my sister, I believe this is the time for you. And we can pray together that God may revive you. God may touch you again. God may prepare you again. This is a call from the Lord. And if you need prayer, and I believe the Lord is not here to condemn anybody. The Lord is not here for anybody to feel guilty. But the Lord is here that you may feel the compassion of God. You may feel the love of God. You feel the zeal, the desire, the hunger, and the thirst of God that was there in the beginning is coming cold. And you need him to touch you. You need a revival this morning. As we are in the presence of God, I would want to pray with you right now. I would ask you to stand wherever you are. You feel I need prayer. I want to return to my service of the Lord. I want to be revived. I want to give my life more. I want to serve the church. I want to serve the Lord. I want to speak the gospel. I want to call you this morning. If you're standing, why don't you just walk in front? You know, when you walk in front, it's a step of declaration. Lord, I declare I want to serve you. Lord, I declare I want to be revived. Lord, I declare I want to go back to my place. Lord, I declare I don't want to sleep. I want to wake up. I want to serve you. I want to be prepared. God wants to prepare you. Church, just come if you feel you need a prayer this morning. Don't allow questions to come in your heart. Don't allow voices of men. This is a time when the enemy comes to pollute us. He comes to speak things in our mind. He comes to confuse us. And this is the best time where God can touch you. God can revive you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe we can sing a song this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We want to pray together this morning. I may not pray to individuals because we are too many, but I just ask you to hold the hand of the brother or sister next to you in faith. Come closer. Just come closer. Let's come closer. Those people there, just come this way. Come this way. Come this way. Thank you. Just come this way. There's a lot of space here. Can you come closer? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There is power in Jesus' name. Let's have faith this morning that God is touching people. God is doing things. As you stand, I want you to have faith in your heart that as I pray, something new from the Lord is going to come. The zeal of God, the hunger of God, the desire of God The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah confesses and says, the day King Uzziah died, this is the day I saw the Lord. And I want to pray that every Uzziah may die in your life. And when Uzziah died, Isaiah says, even the same time I heard the voice of God, when God was calling, whom do I send? Isaiah was ready. And he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And some of us, God has been calling us. Some of us, God has been wanting to send us. But we have many questions. We have many questions. We have many things. We have many facts. We have many things that we speak. But I want to tell you, my brother, it's a time for you to allow Uzziah to die that you may hear the voice of God. And you shall be ready to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, do with me what you want. I'm ready, Lord. We have been wasting a lot of time. We have been dragging around. We don't want to answer the call of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand before you today, Lord. Father, you can see these men and women. They stand before you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray that the Holy Spirit may touch each one of them, Lord. I pray that you revive these people. I pray that you open the eyes of the Spirit, that these people may hear the voice of God. I know that you are calling. I know you are speaking. But because your people are sleeping, they cannot hear the voice. And this morning, Lord, these people have stepped up before you. They have come before you, Lord. They need to be revived. They need a second touch. And in the name of Jesus, may the miracle of God happen in the hearts of these people. May something new be born in their lives, Lord. Let them be revived. Let them be revived this morning. Let them be restored, Lord. Bring a new hunger. Bring a new thirst in their lives. Let the fire of Jesus burn in their hearts. I pray that from today, something new, a seed of God, may germinate in their hearts. Holy Spirit, minister to them this morning, Lord. Minister to these people, Lord. Minister to these people, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you. We bless your name, Jesus. Let my sister hear that call. Let her not waste time. Let her answer that call, Lord. Oh, entanglement. And forgiveness, let it die in these people's lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch my sister this morning. Touch her, Lord. Holy Spirit, minister to her. You are doing something new today, Lord. Oh God, you are removing whatever needs to be removed. And you are bringing and restoring what needs to be restored in these lives this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that the Holy Spirit may minister. Let them feel the touch of Christ. Let them feel the presence of God. This morning, Father, I pray that every question, every fear, every doubt, Lord, may die in them. And today, Father, the voice of the Spirit be heard in them as you prepare your church. Father, I thank you for these people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you this morning, Father. I know that God, you have done something new. And I want to thank you that God, these people from today are no longer the same. Lord, they will bear fruits. And Father, you will fulfill what you promised in the beginning. You will fulfill the desires. Some of these people has your strong call in them. But it's like they have been turning around. But Father, today, you kindle the fire again. Today, Lord, you do something again. Today, Father, they hear the voice of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. I strongly feel, can we stand, oh everybody in the church, Even those that are sitting, let us stand together with these people. And let us lift our hands to God, all of us together. And just give him 2 minutes and tell him, Lord, I stand before your presence. I strongly feel the Lord is saying today that somehow the fire of my spirit has been quenched. The fire of my spirit has been quenched. And it is time for you to allow my spirit to move. It's time for you to allow my spirit to move in your lives. It's time for you to allow my spirit to move in the church. It's time for you to allow my spirit to have the freedom and access in the lives of the people. It's time for you to allow my spirit to minister to you. Do not quench my spirit, says the Lord. Do not quench my spirit. Do not quench my spirit. Do not quench my spirit. Brother, I'm feeling to tell you, God is speaking clearly to you. Allow the praise to be a foundation in your heart. And allow the Spirit of God to use you as a tool to bring the life of Christ to his church. Father, I thank you for my brother this morning. That God, you shall revive this man. God, you shall do something new, Lord. A new fragrance, something new, something tangible will be born in his heart. For he has a strong call to serve you, Lord. You have called him in the ministry. Father, I pray for him that today he will be refreshed. Today he will be renewed. Today the Spirit of God will be alive in his heart, Lord. And you shall use him today and in the days to come. Father, I thank you for that call in his heart. I bless you this morning, Father. We praise you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Father, we bless you this morning. We give you all the praise. Jesus spoke to that Samaritan woman and he said, the time has come and the time is now that those who worship the Lord will worship the Lord in truth and in the spirit, for those are the ones the Lord is seeking. We thank you, Father, for your grace. Bless you this morning for your word. Help us to open up to the Holy Spirit. And help us to be open, Lord, to your word. We thank you and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't we give him a good hand clap this morning?